What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got my special guest host in the chairs with me. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. We're talking about whether or not Donald Trump will actually help the middle class. I think that's the bottom line question.
Mm-hmm. That is the question.
Is he actually going to help working people? And to what degree, right? Because one of the things about campaigning is basically he promised everything, like everything's going to be fixed and world peace and
day one. Yes.
So even setting aside some of that extremist rhetoric, let me just start with this question. And then I'd like to dig in a little bit to all the conservatives out there, especially some of our regular callers. What do you think the odds are that Donald Trump actually makes things better for the middle class? And odds make off of the fact that he handed a completely broken economy over to Joe Biden. Odds make off the fact that there will be more billionaires in his cabinet than in any presidential administration by, like, I don't know, tenfold or something like that. I mean, it's just not even measurable. Odds make, based on the fact that Elon Musk has gotten more wealthier in the last 30 days than he did in his entire lifetime before that, and now has enough money to spend $10 million a day, every day, for 100 years and still not spend all of his money. Like, what do you think the odds are that Trump is going to be responsive to the needs of the middle class? What are you looking for, Tom, in terms of, like, indicators, in terms of how are you going to measure that? What should we all be looking at?
Yeah, I think for me, it starts with inflation. You know, the mm-hmm. CPI report came out yesterday, shows inflation it ticked up a little bit, but the one underlying component that the economists have been waiting to see if it was going to start going down is rental expenses and housing expenses, and it's finally coming back down. You know, if you follow economics at all, you know that inflation peaked and has been drifting down for the last at least year and a half, close to 2 years. Though recently, the most recent inflation survey that came out, people expect inflation to increase, but it was really an interesting survey because college-educated people expected inflation to increase, and people without a college degree expected inflation to decrease, and that was based on Trump's promises. Now, that it's not physically possible that inflation is going to go down by anything that the president's going to do at this point. The only thing that the president has the ability to do is raise inflation. So to me, that's the one thing I'm watching, because after knocking on so many doors in the fall, the economy was the number one thing. People were just upset that prices were so high. And you know, they're in for a tough shock because prices aren't going to come down the same way, especially if he institutes the tariffs the way he wants to.
Yeah, I have such a sense of unease going into mm-hmm. this administration, because he will enjoy at the front end some of the buoying factor from Biden's good economic policies, right?
Yes.
And I call today a saying occurred to me that pocketbook economics, that kitchen table economics, always trail sort of national or corporate economics by a goodly margin, and that the impact of economic policies takes even longer. So I'd say, like, kitchen table economics probably trail by at least a 12 to 18 month lag than the overall sort of national economy and corporate economics, and that the national economy and corporate economics are often trailing a year plus, sometimes even more, depending on how the Fed manages the interest rates, even more what presidential economic policies are. And so you have to think of this in, like, dominoes. So let's put this together for people, Tom. Presidential policies change. That's going to take minimum a year to show up in the macro national economic trajectory. and the performance of businesses and corporations. And that's then going to take another clip of time, say another year at the minimum, to sort of show up in people's pocketbooks and their kitchen table economics. The thing that I'm really uneasy about is that I think American taxpayers and the middle class are going to be somewhat buoyed by Joe Biden's economic policies for at least a couple of years. And they may they may be inclined to falsely attribute that to Donald Trump, which is not, it's parallel a bit to what happened when he took over from President Obama.
Yeah. And and two things. One is President Obama and President Biden will never get credit for avoiding depressions. Yeah. Which they both did.
They both did.
Right. They did it in different ways. President Obama gave money directly to businesses to prop them up to make sure they didn't fail, which was the too big to fail policy.
Yep.
And then President Biden and the Democrats pushed to put money in people's pocketbooks and gave money to a whole bunch of small businesses to make sure they could keep people on the payroll, even though they weren't producing revenue at the time. Right. So two different strategies.
Huge.
They both worked. They both didn't create high unemployment. They both didn't throw people out of their homes. You know, I would say that the Biden philosophy worked a lot better because it got money into the hands of people directly.
Yes.
Where, you know, saving the businesses still caused a huge housing blip, which we're just coming out of right now. But I think the bigger thing is we're going to see another bubble.
Yeah.
So Trump's coming in. He's going to create another bubble that's going to create some excesses that's going to cause businesses that we think are too big to fail to fail at some point.
Yeah.
And the government's going to have to come in and bail it out after doing tax cuts and after exploding the deficit. And my concern is, where's that money going to come from?
Right. Well, and I think Republicans are now saying it very clearly almost daily on the friendly outlets, which is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Right.
That's when we reach the pain point of pain points, that's where the cutting's going to be.
Yes.
And again, that's what's really concerning to me, that people cannot put cause and effect together very well. Let's go to the text lines just for a few comments, if you will. Tom, Angie from Monroe saying, I hope America is still here by the time Trump is done. I'm going to recast that a little bit, Angie. I'm going to say this. I hope the middle class is still here by the time Donald Trump is done. And I want to emphasize that really specifically. The middle class, not the working poor, the middle class. I hope the middle class is still here by the time Trump is done. Because the Republican insistence that presidents are kings, money is speech, and corporations are people has led us to one of the most corrupt systems that still appears, by all accounts, to have a functioning electoral process, right? We have a functioning electoral process.
Yes.
That's not the problem. But the democratic outcomes, small d, aren't happening. And small d democracy means that you're doing the things that benefit the greatest number of people most of the time. We're not seeing that. If you've got a guy that can spend $10 million a day, every day for 100 years and not spend all of his money, and money is speech, guess what? We're all screwed. I'm just saying. Mark from Prairie to Sac says, I'm not advocating for anything here. Murder is wrong. But given the proliferation of firearms in our country, all of these captains of industry probably don't feel too safe. No kidding. Andrew from Maine. Elon Musk's, quote, value is a system of the challenges of capitalism. Has Musk's increase in wealth over the last month in the marketplace had any measurable contribution to society? And no, nothing's materially gotten better over the last month. Len from Madison, the best indication of what someone is going to do in the future is based on what they have done in the past. And in the past, Donald Trump gave more tax cuts to billionaires and 100 millionaires and large corporations by exponential degrees than he ever gave to any of us working suckers. Come on now. Andy from Wausau said Obama gave pallets of money to Iran. No, he didn't. That's weird. I mean, if you want to make a critique, you can critique Joe Biden for effectively letting Iran access billions of dollars, but we're getting off into forum.
And Maggie, this is one of the more interesting things that I see happening right now is Tesla stock is going through the roof.
Yeah.
Yet this administration is going to end the credits, end the federal tax credits for electric vehicles, and they're going to be pushing more pumping of oil, which is at exact odds of what Tesla is all about. And when you think about Tesla, their actual sales have been dropping rapidly because people look at Elon Musk and go, I don't want to be associated with that company. So,
Elon Musk's, a lot of his wealth increase is actually coming from SpaceX right now, right? And like the anticipated value of SpaceX, the guy's got $15.5 billion in federal contracts, yet he's going to be responsible for government efficiency. I mean, that's the most basic definition of a conflict of interest that I've ever heard.
Right. But we're pretending that there are no conflicts of interest, and we're pretending that people are just going to do the right thing for the rest of us. That's what's really happening, which is making Jeff Bezos very nervous because he's not on the inside right now. Right. And he would like some of those government contracts, because as a billionaire, it's easier to get a government contract than you and I.
Of course it is. I mean, yeah. Andy from Wausau, he's ticked off and he's, you guys are horribly at fault. Put that together for me, Andy, and forget past for a moment. Let's just talk about going forward. Andy from Wausau, do you agree that money in politics is corrupting, right? That Elon Musk shouldn't be able to spend $250 million to buy the American, basically the whole of American government? I mean,
to buy a seat at the table. It's basically what he did.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money and I want to be involved. I'm not getting elected. I'm not running for office, but I'm giving you a bunch of money and therefore you should listen to me.
And I
firmly believe though, Maggie, and I don't know what you think about this, but I firmly believe that two people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump cannot stay in the same sphere for too long. I think there'll be a tremendous falling out at some point. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Oh, you mean when the two massive egos and billionaires come to loggerheads over something?
Yes,
you mean,
it will not last.
That's one to watch. I got a question. Jim from Appleton said, hey, does your calculation of Musk's wealth take into effect just interest on his wealth? No, it's as if he would never earn another penny for the rest of his life. He's got $444 billion. If he never made a penny in a savings account or an interest-bearing savings account or checking account for the rest of his life, he still could spend $10 million a day for 100 years every day and still have nearly $1.5 billion left. Excuse me,
and early in his career,
$150 billion left. It's insane.
Right, early in his career, that completely hinged on the fact of him getting a bailout loan from the U.S. government in order to keep Tesla going.
You know, the next time the U.S. government bails out industries or businesses, do you think we might ask for some equity?
I ran on that. I don't think we should be giving grants. I don't think we should be doing a lot of things when it comes to business. We should be taking an equity position. We should be
like
the
investor.
Biggest venture capital in the entire world. And we do a lot better.
Yeah,
we
want to talk about deficit management. There you go.
Exactly.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He's a 2-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. I'm Maggie Dawn. Your thoughts and disagreements. You too, Andy from Wausau, are always welcome here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We're going to talk about what the heck went on with Christopher Wray, and why did Christopher Wray take the route he did when so many other people are saying, bring it on, Donald Trump. We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC.